Children at this time need to be dismissed. I see that they're already there, ready to go. So yes, children, we're dismissed to Children's Church at this time. All right. We have come to question number 5 in our series called 7 Questions and 7 Answers. And question number 5 is this. Isn't Christianity against diversity? Isn't Christianity against diversity? Well, the answer to this can be very quick by looking at the goal of Christianity. If we look at the scriptures, we have the goal of Christianity given for us in Revelation. There at the very end, in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, we have this. And they sang a new song saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." What we've just celebrated here in communion is a testimony of Christianity, what this is all about. Every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Same in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, we have there, "And these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palm branches were in their hands." Right there. Every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues. And so it's hard to think that Christianity is against diversity when the goal of Christianity is to have people from every different walk of life, all kinds of different people in heaven. That's the point. But there is more. And we know that. Because there's more to that question. And so first we probably should understand the why of this question. Why is that being said? Why do people think that Christianity is just against diversity? Well, the word diversity very simply means having a variety. Diversity, having a variety. As in, there is a diversity of cereals in the cereal aisle at HEB. It's a bunch of different cereals. Or the Andromeda Galaxy displays a great diversity of stars. There's all kinds of stars. But there is something that must be a part of diversity for it to be diversity. All right? It's fundamental, but at times when we say the word diversity, it becomes counterintuitive. So let me explain. Let me give you this picture here. Look at this picture and tell me if this is diversity. Okay. You have the cat. Then you have a bacteria. You have a car. You have crayons. You have money. And you look at this and you go, it's hard to find diversity in there. Probably the best way to find diversity is to say, well, it's all on the same picture, okay? So there is proximity that sometimes points to diversity and not just randomness, because it could be random and it can even be chaotic. But let me illustrate with another picture what I think we mean when we talk about diversity. Let's put this one up. How about this graphic? Is there diversity there? Some of you are going, yes. And it's true. There is a variety of colors. There's a diversity of colors. And we can see it because there is also this commonality within the diversity that signals what the diversity is. You got a bunch of hands, palms open, raised up. Yeah. And there's a bunch of colors of hands. So there's diversity there, right? So proximity may be a reason for diversity, but it can also be a bad one. You see, some things don't need to be together, like this. You don't put ammonia and Clorox together, right? You don't. You don't do that. If you do that, you could get some toxic vapors coming up. Or you don't put alkali metals like potassium, rubidium, cesium with water. If you do that, it could ignite, you know, because of the hydrogen. So proximity can help us see diversity, but because things come together does not mean that they are diverse or that there is diversity. When people come together, it can be in this way. There's some people coming together there. You got soldiers from two different armies during the Iraqi war coming together, but we wouldn't say that that's diversity. No. Or you can have it this way, a bunch of people coming together, right? And I believe this is what this question is talking about when it talks about diversity. Diversity in the social context. And yes, it's cool to see people coming together in peace. That's a good thing. And this is what, as we say, the Bible is about. Through Jesus Christ, it brings glory to God when people of various different backgrounds and ethnics and ethnicities and nations come together in order to worship God. Jesus Christ died for that. So why is it that there's still this issue that Christianity is against diversity? Well, let me use the definition. I'm going to put a definition here that I believe enlightens us to what we're talking about, what that question is talking about. Here's the ideal definition, all right? Diversity in the social context, a successful community in which individuals of different race, ethnicity, religious beliefs, socioeconomic status, language, geographical origin, gender, and/or sexual orientation bring their different knowledge, background, experience, and interest for the benefit of the whole community. That's what diversity is in this context of the question. And key to understanding it is found in the words successful community, and I put them in red there, and benefit the whole community. And yes, it's a good thing to be together successfully. So let's ask the question, what is the success that this definition has in mind? Well, it's found there at the end, the benefit for the whole community. And I think we need to define that. But first, we talk about unity. Notice diversity must have a unifying principle. Remember the photo of the little kitten, right? The genius kitten looking at the relativity formula there. This could be at best, you know, diversity because they're unified by proximity, but it's actually random. And so in order to have diversity, you have to have a unifying principle, right? And in this definition, that unifying principle is the word benefit. It benefits the whole community. The success of that group is found in the common good, right? And that's what our definition is here, right? Benefit comes from a Latin word that means to do good, or good do, to be literal. So what's good for people? That's the heart of the issue. What's good? Well, in our graphic, the good is coming together. Proximity, right? But there's an issue there. If we look closer at the graphic, along with the definition, we're going to put this up here. We see that, yes, there's a whole bunch of people here, but it says successful community of individuals with, and let's go, I guess, to the next slide here. Yeah, with different race. That's cool. All right. Ethnicity. That's cool as well. Religious beliefs. Now, that could be a problem. Socioeconomic status and language, yes, those are all good. Geographical origin, yeah, that's really good. Gender and or sexual orientation. Well, that could be a problem. You see where I'm going here? Diversity is cool, but what really is at issue is not diversity. It's unity. That's the issue in diversity. Unity. You see, diversity requires unity. It requires it. If you look at this graphic again here, and I put circles around, you have people here, and these circles represent some very mutually exclusive views on key issues. There is no unity when you have a Hasidic Jew, an Orthodox Jew, and a Palestinian. They're in the picture. When you have a Catholic nun and an Orthodox Jew, there's some serious issues there. Buddhist priests and all these, that's very serious issues. These folks have fundamental and essential differences of belief that are, as I said earlier, mutually exclusive. Catholic nun believes that God is three in one and that Jesus is God. The Jews are fundamentally opposed to Jesus as Messiah. Muslims find it repulsive to think that God would have a son. It's blasphemy. Of course, the Orthodox Jew, the nun, the Jews also find it repulsive that people are gay, lesbian, bisexual, non-binary. I mean, we could go down a whole bunch of issues here. So the issue is not diversity. The issue is unity. You have to have unity in order to have diversity. So, we haven't even gotten to those who follow Christ and are chosen by Him and indwelt by the Holy Spirit and believe the Word of God. So, can being together, you know, just proximity, be strong enough to create unity among people? Well, we must agree on what is good, right? Proximity is not enough. It may just make an easier act in disagreement. So, in order to be together, you have to be united. In order to be united, though, you have to be in agreement. You have to be in agreement. James in the Bible puts our daily life into perspective when we talk about this. I'll read it real quick here. You want agreement, but James goes on to say, what's the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is the source not your pleasures that wage war in your body parts? In your body's parts? You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder, and you're envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask, and you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your own pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You have to have agreement. People within the church coming together who don't agree that we're about the glory of God don't have agreement. And so we come to this issue that human beings are sinful. You know? If we go to Romans chapter 3, verse 9 to 12, we have a quote from the Old Testament. And in there it says, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks, that's everybody, are all under sin. That is, as it is written, there is no righteous person, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks out God. They all have turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good. There is not even one. And so fundamentally, there is no agreement among humans. And is that all? Well, that's it. Does this mean that no one does any good at all? I mean, just the other day, I'm going to the mall or somewhere, and a person offers their parking spot to me. That was good, wasn't it? Or about the rich guy that we talked about earlier in a few sermons before that gives money to starving kids. Isn't that good? Well, remember, as we said, all this is not because human beings are fundamentally good. No, this is because God is at work among human beings. That's the point. God is actively at work in this world. God, through the Holy Spirit, convicts people to do the right thing. If we are left to our own without God's work in this world, this is true. No one seeks after God. Not even one. There is no one who does good, period. To put it the other way, in Psalm 16, verse 2, David, the writer of this psalm, puts it this way. He says, out of his own experience, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Wow. Good only comes as God is at work. And God's work is through Jesus Christ, and we've seen that. In Acts chapter 2, verse 10 through 12, we have that famous thing, Jesus Christ the Nazarene, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no name other name under heaven that has been given among mankind by which we must be saved. Jesus took our sin, my sin, the sin of the whole world, as we have celebrated today, and only in him do we have good salvation. And so we've seen that diversity, you have to have unity in order to have diversity. In order to have unity, you have to have agreement. Human beings tend to not agree. And then, as we've seen here, only God's work, so human agreement requires salvation. Salvation. And here's the deal. Isn't this the very reason people accuse Christianity of being against diversity? Because salvation is exclusive. There is salvation in no one else, only Jesus Christ. That's the issue. That's why people say, isn't Christianity against diversity? Yes, because there's only salvation in Jesus Christ. But it's true. Humans don't agree, and because they don't unify, and without unity, there is no diversity. And it's the human conundrum. Just recently, Lopez family, we bought a new car. Well, it was a new car to us. And as I did my research, I was wanting a car that would be reliable, that would last a good while, that would be a worthy investment of present and future dollars. And most of the people that I rub shoulders with have this same kind of view. They're just frugal, good people. They make wise choices. But the wise choice, a reliable and lasting car, is usually the plain vanilla car. You know what I mean? The boring car. And I also wanted a car that was exciting, you know? Not like all the other cars. I don't want to fit in, man. You know, I don't want to do that. I don't want to fit in. I wanted a car that's fun to drive, a little edgy, cool, unique. But those cars, in my budget range, usually don't last long and can lead to situations where you can get in trouble. So that's the conundrum. Right? This is a personal conundrum, but it reflects an even greater conundrum among individuals, among people. In this world, there is nothing strong enough to accommodate the conundrums that human beings have brought upon themselves. What we want is we want our cake, and we want to be able to eat it as well. We can't. We are sinners and we hurt one another. And we do this because we find no common ground. Right? We need a principle, something that is able to handle both our desire to be unique in a rebellious, sinful world, and at the same time can make us a part of something that is greater than ourselves. Something that can keep us eternally unique and at the same time a part of something where that uniqueness is not done away with, but valued as well. We all long for that. We all long for it. And trying to find this within the human arena can lead us to despair. Like the book of John, the book that John wrote, the book of Revelation, where we see him there, if you've read that, and he is standing there, and no one is worthy to open the scroll. And he cries. That's the conundrum of humanity. And then we read, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Jesus Christ is the only unifying principle in the universe. He's the only one. The person of Jesus Christ is the only one who has the ability to bring a diversity, a sinful diversity together and unify it. And it's unified around him. He died on the cross. I know we're getting close. Hold on if you would please. Colossians 1:27-29 says this. The mystery that is Christ in you, the hope of glory, we proclaim him, admonishing every person and teaching every person with all wisdom so that we may present every person complete in Christ. Agreement requires salvation. Salvation is found in Christ. In Christ we are saved. He's the only unifying principle in the universe. There is no other. He died for us. He reconciled us to God. And by being reconciled to God, we can be reconciled with each other. God did what we could not do. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ. In Christ we are saved. In Christ we are united. And that unity is born out in that which Jesus Christ came to establish, which is the church of Jesus Christ. And this is where we come to the very end. The question, isn't Christianity against diversity? And after taking a look at it here, we have to say no. Diversity means nothing without unity, and we can find unity only in Jesus Christ. And that's what Christianity is all about. Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that you have brought to us the light of your truth. And that truth is about the gospel. And the gospel is about Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, the witness of those who saw him. We've celebrated that today, and it's the basis. In Christ only can we be diverse. In Christ only do we have the unity that is required to have diversity. In Christ only do we find agreement. In Christ only do we find salvation from our own sins. Lord, thank you that we have the place where the diversity, the variety of your creativity and creation can be celebrated for what it is. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good afternoon. Thank you for your time.